Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem Zayin. We begin on Mem Zayin, Amar Aleph, by the second line. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Chanina, Amar Rabbi Romnus. All of these Amarayim, they said over the name of Rabbi Romnus the following statement. Li hitir Rebbe letaltel machto biafara. We've been discussing various issues of Muktzah, and here Rav Ravna said that Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Hanasi, personally gave him permission to be metaltel, to go and move a machto. A machto is like a frying pan that was used to burn incense, the afro, even with the burnt incense inside of it. So this was already burnt out, so it was Muktzah. The afra inside was not muchan, it wasn't being used for any purpose. As Rashi says over here, in Dibra Maschal Amar Rav Romnus, Shalavona, this was frankincense, this was the Lavona, the incense that they were burning, and the afra, when it says ba'afra, it means kosodaitach bi'afra im afra, that was still inside of it. The leftover remnant ashes were still inside. She'efa muktzah, and this is muktzah. The lo hayut tzrichid lo, they had absolutely no reason for it, so this pure ashes is muktzah. Vashmeinan, and the chiddush is over here, the agav machta, using the frying pan, the ika toras kliyala, which is a utensil, totala im afra. He was able to move the frying pan, letzorech gufo makomo. This is a klisha malachta le'isser. Frying pans are not normally used on Shabbos, but if you need it, let's say, for its place, letzorech makomo, or letzorech gufo, you want to use the frying pan to bang in a walnut and open up a walnut, so you'd be allowed to. Letzorech gufo makomo. So you're allowed to go and move this frying pan, which is a kli, and move it letzorech gufo makomo, even though it has muktzah ashes inside of it. We don't consider it a basis ledavar aser. We don't consider it over here a base for a muktzah item, a davar aser. That's what Rav Ravna said, that personally, Rav Yehuda Hanasi was mate matir him to do this. Now, Rav Zera was the first person on this chain of Amorayim, and he said this over in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Asi, and he said to Rav Asi, Mi are Rav Yochanan Hachi? You said it over in the name of Rav Yochanan. Did Rav Yochanan really say this? Mi are Rav Yochanan Hachi? Vatnan, we learned in the Mishnah, No tel Adam b'no, we're going to learn later on the Masechta. Towards the end of the Masechta, it says that you're allowed to go and pick up your son, even though v'ha'evin b'yodo, he's holding a rock in his hand. Or, alternately, kalkola, a basket, v'ha'evin b'socha, and there's a rock inside the basket. You're allowed to pick up the child, even though he's holding the rock. You're allowed to pick up the basket, even though there's a rock inside of it. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan, and the Mishnah says. And v'amar rabba b'rachana, amar Rabbi Yochanan said about that Mishnah, it's talking b'kalkola m'leya peiros askinan. It's not that it just is a basket with a rock inside of it. It's a basket with fruits inside of it and the rock. And therefore, Taimud is Bei Peri. The only reason you're allowed to pick up this basket over here is because it has fruits inside of it. So it's a basis. This basket is a base for a Davar HaAser, the rock, but also a Davar HaMutter. And therefore, that's why you can pick up this basket, implying that it has Peri inside of it. Holes bay peri, if it didn't have fruits inside of it, lo, you wouldn't be allowed to go pick it up because it's a basis ledavar aser. And you wouldn't be allowed to pick up the basket because of the rock. So that's what Rav Zera said to Rav Asi. And Rav Asi ishtomim kisho chada. He was silent for a moment. This is a paraphrase of the psukim in Daniel. And therefore, he ultimately responded, v'amar hochanami di'is be'karten. He eventually responded and said, yeah, there was not only ashes over here, but there was also still some frankincense, some karten. As Rashi explains over here, shoshir levona. There was still some good levona left. That good levona is not muktzah. And therefore, that's why you're allowed to move. That's why Rav Romnus was given permission by Rav Yehuda Hanasi to go move this frying pan, this machta, because there still was heter inside of it, the little pieces of karten, along with the ashes. Amar Baya, Baya says, wait a second, karten be Rebbe, mi chashivi? You're talking here about Rebbe. Rebbe was fantastically wealthy. Rebbe is an usher. And therefore, if you're dealing with karten, if you're dealing over here with a small, insignificant frankincense, a little bit of Lavona, who says that that's significant for a rich person? Okay, maybe not be valuable for Rebbe, but a poor person would still be happy with his dollar, with his little piece of korten, but that's not the case. For Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, in Erevin, big de aniyim laniyim. when you're dealing over here with clothing of aniyim, Rashi says shalosh al shalosh. You have three etzbos by three etzbos. Again, it's a feminine form, so we're dealing over here with etzbos. Shechuton ova, or they're very thick threads over here, have a begadim laniyim linyan tuma. They are considered begadim over here for a poor person because he'll use it as a patch. Even a three etzba by three etzba piece of cloth is considered something significant for an ani. So for an ani, it's makabu tuma. However, for an ashir, big the ashir, only ashir, you need to have at least three tfachim, shlosha al shlosha, Rashi says, have a begadim laashir. You need a much larger piece of cloth in order to be considered a significant beged. And of course, if it's a beged for an asher, it's of course going to be a beged for an ani. However, avo big de aniyim liashirim, Rashi says, but the garments that are good for an ani, for a rich person, they're not. Lo avi beged gabayu. They don't consider it significant. Velo makabli tuma. And if a rich person has a three etzba by three etzba piece of cloth, so while the poor person would say it's significant because they use it for a patch, the rich person won't. And Rashi therefore says, Hachanami, Bei Rebbe, Botli Karten. In the house of Rebbe, who's fabulously wealthy, this Karten is worthless. And therefore, it should be Boto. Lo Chashivi, the Bach says. Lo Chashivi Karten, Ubotli. So therefore, the Gemara continues, so Big the Aniyim Laniyim, Big the Ashirim Liashirim, Avol the Aniyim Liashirim Lo. That's what Rashi just explained. So how can you tell me that this Karten, this little piece of Lavona that's left inside the Machta, is significant? Shmuel says, you're right. Elom Rabaye, midid dahavi agraf shorei. You know what this is? This frying pan over here, the reason why Rebbe allowed Rebbe Romnus to move it, because it's like a graf shorei. It's like a container filled with schmutz, with garbage. And that's why you're allowed to move it. As Rashi says, it's a klicheres hamuchan lekach. It's a waste paper basket. It's a piece of garbage over here that's being contained inside this frying pan, and that's why you're allowed to move it. That's what Abai wants to suggest. That's why Rabbi Romnus was allowed to move the machta with the afara by Rebbe. So Rava says there's two problems with that. Amar Rava, shtei tshuvos b'davar. I'll show you Abai why that's not correct. Number one, chada graf shorei mois. The reason why you're allowed to move a dirty diaper is because it's disgusting. You're allowed to move a urinal. You're allowed to move a chamber pot. It's because it's disgusting. That's why you're allowed to move it. However, v'haylo mois, but this frying pan with the incense that's been burned out and just has the ashes left, that's not disgusting. And furthermore, the old grav shorei and migli, the chamber pot, the urinal, the container that has excrement in it, so it's visible, it's open, but this utensil, this afara that's inside the frying pan was enclosed in some sort of like a grated area. That's how you use an incense pot, that it has holes in it, but the waste that's inside there is not easily visible. So therefore, there's two reasons over here. Number one, it's not disgusting, and even if it is disgusting, it's covered up. Graf shorei is migle, v'hai milchse, this is covered up. So therefore, that can't be the reason. So why did Rebbe Romnus get permission from Rebbe to move the machta with the afra inside of it? Elam Rava, ki abinam ben Rav Nachman, when we were learning by Rav Nachman, haba metaltalinon kinuna agav kitma. We're allowed to move over here kinuna. Rashi says, in Dibur Masal kinuna, this is a kli nechoshes, shemeviim bo ha'ur, lifnei sarim lischamim. They would bring this certain type of a copper utensil that had a flame inside of it, and they would bring it in front of important people, ministers, and they would warm up by it. So he said, we were allowed to go and move this kinuna, even though it had kitma inside, even though it had the ashes inside of it, as Rashi says, agav kitme, shu'tzrichim li'afaro l'chasel sroko tzoa. And they would use these ashes over here that were left inside, and they would cover up some spittle or some excrement over there. V'im tomar matzat iser yeshkan. So then what's the chiddush over here? Haina revusa, the chiddush is, the apagav the ika alea shivri eitzin. Even though there are some pieces over here of broken wood, there still are some pieces of firewood over here, which are muktza, nevertheless, you're allowed to move this entire thing because you need the ashes inside of it to cover up the spittle, as Rashi says over here, to cover up the roke or the tzoa, and that's why you're allowed to move it. In Shulchan Aruch, he brings down that this ashes was made before Shabbos, so therefore, this kitma inside of it is not considered nolad on Shabbos, and it's not considered muktza. Therefore, that's why you can use these ashes inside. And the chiddush is, even though there are still pieces of wood, the little firewood there, nevertheless, you can move this. And that's what the Gemara says. The Rav Nachman said, "Having a talin and kinun, agav kitma, v'afal gav diko le'shivrei eitzim." That's the chiddush over here. Thus, when Rebbe gave permission to Rev Romanus to go and move this, there were also Shivri Eitzim on it, and that was the Chiddush, that even though there were the ashes over there, there was still the Shivri Eitzim. You might have thought you can't move it. No, since you want to use the ashes, you can move the Machta. We're not talking about ashes that were Muktzeh like we originally said, but here again, the same thing, the ashes were Muchan from beforehand. More questions are still. Meisvei, Vishavin. We learned, Rashi says over here, this is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that argued about the old earthenware candle. The Rabbi Shimon says it's not Muktzeh Machmas Mius, and Rabbi Yehuda says it is Muktzeh Machmas Mius. We had this previously in a number of Shiurim. Vishavin. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon agree Shem Yesh Bo Shivre Psila Shasu L'Talta, that if there are still Psila, their wick left inside this old earthenware nair, so then you're not allowed to go and move it. Even Rabbi Shimon says you're not allowed to move it because of the Psila. So how come over here Rabbi let Rabbi Romanus move it? There's Muxa's stuff inside. It's a Basis L'Davar Asur, so it should be Asur L'Taltel V'Shavin. Everybody agrees to that. So Rabbi says no. The Galila Shadu. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about in the Galil. And the Galil, Rashi says, you have Sheshuvos Lahen Shivri Psila. Here, this little bit of wick that's left is very choshev. She'ein begodim shol pishto mitzuyelahem. They didn't have a lot of flax garments, and therefore they didn't have wicks easily. Hilkach lo batle. That's why it's not considered that the oil, according to Rabbi Shimon, is more important than the wicks. In this situation, the wicks are actually more important than the oil because they didn't have a lot of wicks where they were. Those wicks are not considered something to be thrown away. That is usur. Tosus has a different understanding. Tosus says he thinks in the Galil they did have such wicks. He says the second line in the Tosus beGalil shano they nearly Rabbeinu Tam damrina b'shulei Baba Kama. We learned at the end of Baba Kama lochim in anoshim klei tzemer b'Yehuda uklei pishdom beGalil mash b'shemotzi pishdom harbishom. So therefore he disagrees with Rashi's psat and says that in the Galil they did have a lot of wick, and therefore why then in this situation isn't the oil considered more significant than the wicks, and therefore according to Rabbi Shimon it should be allowed to be metaltel. So Tosus answers over here that they had Rov Shemen. Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, Begalila Shanu, Shayolahem Rov Shemen. They had a tremendous amount of oil, and therefore the oil was very inexpensive. Ulahachi lo batli Shivrei Pesila. And therefore the oil isn't going to be more important than the Shivrei Pesila. Therefore the Shivrei Pesila is the more important thing, and that's why even Rabbi Shimon says it's a basis l'davar ha'osur. That concludes this discussion. Now we go weiter. Levi Bar Shmuel, Ashkechinu l'Rabbi Abba u'l'Rabbi Huna Bar Chia. Levi Bar Shmuel, one of the Amoraim, he found Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chia, Davukai Me Apischa Debe Rav Huna. They were once by Rav Huna's door. Amar Lahu, he said to them, Ma'u l'achzer mita shel tarsim b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to go to put together this mita shel tarsim? Rashi explains in the Dibur Masl Tarsim, Tsarfin Choshes, this was either people that made copper stuff, or gardim, or weavers. And what they would do is v'holchem year li year l'melachta, and they would go from city to city doing their work. The nos anymore mito shel prakim, and they had these portable beds, these beds that could take apart and put together, and therefore that's called this mito shel tarsim. And are you allowed to go and put together such a bed on Shabbos? That's what they asked. Armulei, they responded to him, shapir domi. It's perfectly okay to put these beds together on Shabbos. Now, also, coming to Rav Yehuda, he went to Rav Yehuda, and Amar, Rav Yehuda said, Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavayu, that Rav Yehuda learned by Rav, and when Rav passed away, he learned by Shmuel, so he was able to say that both of his Rabbi, Rav and Shmuel, they both hold, HaMachzir Mita Shol Tarsim B'Shabbos Chayv Chatas. What are you talking about that it's Mutter? In fact, Yechayv Chatas, it's an Issa Daraisa. You're over the Issa Daraisa of Makib Patish. It's not building over here because Ein Binyan B'Kalim. It's a Kali. It's a utensil. So you're not over building, but it's an Issa of Makib Patish. You're making the final act in making a Kli. And that's Makib Patish. And so Chayv Daraisa, Chayv Chatas. So how can you tell me that it's Mutter? Not only is it not Mutter, it's not even only also Darabonin, it's also Midaraisa. We question this. Meisvei, Hamaxer, Kinei Menorah B'Shabbos, Chayv Chatas. It says if you put together the pieces of a candelabra on Shabbos, so you're making this menorah on Shabbos, you're Chayv Chatas. That's, again, you're putting together utensils. You're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. However, Kinei Sayodin, if you put together the brush that the people that used to put up lime used to go do, they used to have to reach the top, so they'd add on an extra piece. Then when they get lower, they would take away the extra pieces until they just had the brush in their hand. So they would have this extendable like of a pole. So that's the Kinei Sayodin. The Sayid is the ones that put up the lime or the plaster. Esther over here. So now, when they would take this and put it together, lo yachsir, they weren't allowed to go and take it apart. V'imhirsir, if they did put it back together, potter avulosir. It's only an issur d'rabbanan. So the first one is an issur d'oraisa because that's permanent. So you don't expect to take it apart. As opposed to the Knei Sayadin, they would take it apart, put it together, take it apart. Therefore, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. So what do you see over here? Putting together something like the Tarsim is going to be either an issur d'oraisa or an issur d'rabbanan. And Rav Simoy Omer, similarly, Keren Agula, Chayef. Keren Pshuta Potter. Rashi explains these as various types of wind instruments over here, musical instruments. And the more complex one is this Keren Agula, is a rounder type of a wind instrument. So putting that together is an Issa Deraisa. And the Keren Pshuta, the straight one, since it's easily taken apart, that's only an Issa Derabana. It's part of a lawsuit. So therefore, how can you tell me that Rav Huna said that it's perfectly permissible to go and take apart this bed of the Tarsium? You said Shapur Domi, Amrule Shapur Domi, they said this by the house of the Vei Rav Huna, when in fact Rabu Shmuel and all of these others say that it's an Issa Derabbanan and Issa Deraisa. Shmuel says, because these two Amoraim, Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Inu Diyomor Ki Hai Tana. You're right, they're Amoraim. They can't argue against the Braisa, but they bring their own Braisa, the Tanya. Their Braisa says, Malvino Samita. Rashi explains over here, Malvino Samita, Kein Raglayim Kitanim Yeshlem, Beis Kibble, Umachnis Lesochon Roshi Karay Hamita Shloyur Kavu Ba'aretz. This is some sort of like a coaster that they would put on the bottom of their beds, the legs of their beds, that it shouldn't get ruined in the mud. And the Karos Hamita themselves, Uluvachim Shol Sakibos, Rashi explains that this is Eitz Kotun Kimindaf, Shetokim Bakeshis, Shekorin Abustra, all of Moshe Chachetz. This is some part of the bow and arrow that would hold the arrow in place. So all of these things have to be put together. So it says, Lo Yachzir, you're not allowed to go and put them together over here. You can't reattach them on Shabbos. But if you did, Im Yachzir, you're Potter Avol Aser. You're over in Issa Derabbanan, Potter Avol Aser. We turn to the Amud Beis. However, it says, Velo Yitaka, and even if you do put him back, you can't do it hard. Rashi says, Bechozek, Aida Yisedos. You can't go and nail it together. So you can put it back together. The im taka, but if you did nail it together, chayv chatas, that would be an issa deraisa. So according to the first opinion over here, it's still a problem for the two amorayim because it says it's an issa derabanan. And if you do it really hard with a nail, it's an issa deraisa. So where's their support? Oh, Rav Shimon Gamaliel omer imaya rafui mutter. He says if it's not very tightly fit in, certainly you're not nailing it in. He also wouldn't allow you to nail it in. But he says, if you're just fitting it in and it's not tightly fit in, if it's loose, mutter. Not only is it not an issa d'oraisa, it's not even an issa d'rabbanan, and l'chatchila it is permissible. So these two Amorayim, Rav Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chiya, they hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the Tana Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that says that you're allowed to go put them to bed. You can put the bed of the Tarsim together because it's not very tightly put together. Imhoya rafui, mutter. Similarly, they had a story, Bei Rav Chama, in the Beis Medrash, in the house of Rav Chama, Havamito Galanisa, they had something that was a bed like the bed of the Tarsim, Rashi says, Ke'en Shol Tarsim, that's a bed that you can take apart and put together, and that's what it was, Hava, and Mahadri Labi Yom Tova, and they would put it together in Yontif. Amalei Halmir, the Rabban L'Ravah, Rava. So one of the rabbis that was there, saw them do this, asked Rava, the Rashash says that Rava was the grandson of Rav Chama, and therefore, he could go and ask him, it was Rava Bar Yosef Bar Chama, so therefore he asked him, my daitech, what is your Zaydi's reasoning? In the house of Rav Chama, they allowed this to be done. So what's your reasoning? Why did you allow this to be done? So they said, Binyamin Atzadu, this isn't really a full binyan, as Rashi says, Mepdei She'en Atakua, it's not really stuck in very tightly, U'mahatka B'chozek, and therefore, Korli Min Atzad, Kloma Aydei Shinoi, it's not done in the normal, formal way of being so tight, that's why they allowed him to do this. So he said, Nun, he, the Issa Daraisa Leka, if you don't put it in very tight, okay, it's not a Daraisa, but Issa Darabonin Mia Ika, it should at least be a Darabonin. Holding like the Tanakam over here. So Amalei, he says, Anaki, Rab Shimon Gamliel Sule, Rab Chama, my Zaydi, and I, we hold like Rab Shimon Gamliel. If you don't put it in very tightly, then it is permissible. And that's really brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber says that if it's loose over here, it's mutar l'chatchila, and the Ramah says, u'bavach lo yahadik, you have to be careful not to tie it in too tightly, and the Mishnah Berurah explains that if you have it rough, it's okay. We don't make a gzera over here that you may come to go and tie it tightly together, or nail it together, and it's not a concern. But he says, if it's rough of ain't a rough, if it's a little bit tight, then it is osur. And the Chofetz Chaim adds in the Bir Halach, he says, it's only mutter over here if it's rafa, if you don't mind that it's rafa. And he adds from the Smag that he says that it is mutter unless it requires gevura v'umnus. If you have to tighten it in with the strength, or it requires a professional, then it's not allowed. Next Mishnah. We had this previously, and we said that you're allowed to go put a utensil underneath the flame in order to catch the sparks. But you're not allowed to put water in a cup around this over here to catch the sparks, because that would be kibbutz, that would be extinguishing it on Shabbos. Gemara says, wait a second, how are you allowed to put a kli over there? We had previously, if you put a kli over there, it's going to catch the sparks are muktzah, and it's going to be not muchan anymore, and therefore you're taking this kli that was previously muchan to make it not muchan. So we already gave the answer to this. No, these sparks over here aren't really significant, and they instantly go away once they hit the kli, and therefore the kli is not really mavato from its hechano status. Then we said, you can't put water in it because it will be mechaba the sparks. So Gemara says, lemor tenan stomach Rav Yossi. Let us say, Ostam Mishnah over here is like the machlokis we can have later in the Masechta between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. And that's whether you're allowed to go put barrels of water in the path of a fire. You don't want the fire to spread, but you can't put it out on Shabbos. There's no pikuach nefasha situation. So they put barrels over there. When the fire will reach it, they will open up the barrels and the water will come out and it will put out the fire. So Rav Yossi says, you're not allowed to do that. And the Chacham say you are. So let us say that our Mishnah follows Rav Yossi. Lema tenan stomach Rav Yossi. The Amar gorim lekibu yosser. He said over there in the Gemara and Daf Kuf Chav that you're not allowed to go and put the barrels out over there because you're going to cause the kibui. So to over here in our Mishnah, you're causing the kibui. Moses says, really? Petisbara? Is that true? Amadam Rav Yossi b'Shabbos. Rav Yossi said, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. B'Erev Shabbos miyomer. He never said you can't do it on Erev Shabbos. And even v'chitema hochanami b'Shabbos. If you're telling us over here, this is talking about on Shabbos, v'atanya, but we're learning a b'raisa, nosum kli tachas in elikabu nitzosos b'Shabbos, v'in tzorech loma b'Erev Shabbos. You can put a utensil there to collect the nitzosos on Shabbos, and certainly you can do it on Erev Shabbos. But it says, v'lo yitein l'socho mayim ibnei shu mechaba, but you can't put water in the kli before Shabbos even. Mipnei shu mechaba, may Erev Shabbos. Even on Erev Shabbos, he can't do this. And certainly, vein tzorech lomar b'Shabbos. And if he can't do it on Erev Shabbos, he certainly can't do it on Shabbos. So therefore, how can you say this? Gemara says, you're right. Elam Rav Ashi, afilu tem Rabbanim. This isn't the opinion of Rav Yossi. Our Mishnah could be even according to Rabbanim. The Rabbanim said over there, you're allowed to put the barrels. How come over here they said you can't put the utensil with the water? Shani hach, here it's different. Nation, the carry of this kibbutz, you're going to make the kibbutz occur faster. As Rashi says, zimen kibbutz lehedra, you're causing the kibbutz. Babali mechaba mamish, you have a yod lebe Shabbos. If you do this on Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to do it on Erev Shabbos as well, if you do this on Shabbos, you're going to go and move the utensil. It's making the sparks go out faster. You're causing the sparks to go out. That's direct action. And even the Chachamim, not only Rav Yossi, would say that that's not allowed. Hadr lecha kira. With this, we finish the third parak, and we go on to the fourth parak, Bamet Tomnim. Let us begin. Bamet Tomnim, what are you allowed to insulate with? Now, insulating, Rashi tells us in the first Rashi, Habola Sali Kederim Yagabi Kira. If you want to take off a pot off the fire, off the oven, Litmona Bedover Acher, and you want to go and insulate it in something in order that it should stay hot. So, V'amru Chachamim Ein Tomnim Bedover Amosif Hevel. The rule is you're not allowed to go and insulate it with something that will add heat to it. Ela Bedover Amaimit Hevel. You're only allowed to insulate it in something that will maintain the heat but not add to it. And now the Mishnah is going to tell us which ones are Mosif and therefore are Osir. Tosus adds over here from the Rabbeinu Yosef in the name of Rabbeinu Shmuel. We're talking here about something that wasn't fully cooked. It was partially cooked. If you're talking over here with a dish that hasn't yet been cooked, it's raw, or it's a dish that's fully cooked, it's bashil, then we learned in the first perek, Shirinim Perekaman, that you're allowed to go and do this. However, he says, the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with this pshat of the Rabbeinu Yosef and the Rabbeinu Shmuel. He says, the or islon luuk ben masnisan bistam kideros. Our Mishnah is not making distinctions between whether it was partially cooked or fully cooked. Shem mivushalim ben hashmashos. Our Mishnah is talking about even fully cooked dishes that between the ben hashmashos they were fully cooked. Vodim istam ayri masnisan dumi the masnisan dekira. The mayri bibashel kemaychol ben drusoy. And we're talking here about where it is cooked enough, even like the maychol ben drusoy. halfway or a third way cooked. And therefore, Neil Rabbeinu Tam, Shishul Chalif bin Hashor Latmona. The Rabbeinu Tam makes a very important distinction over here between leaving something on the oven, that was the whole machlokus we had, between Chananya and the Chachamim, versus Hatmona. The Vadai Lahashos Mutter Kishul Maichel ben Rasoi. You're allowed to go leave something if it's cooked ready to the level of Maichel ben Rasoi or more, because She'en Chitui Ma'at Moilo, a little bit of extra prodding, the stirring the ashes, is not going to make it heat up that much faster. Because it's opened, the shalit be'avira, and the air is going in, so it's either cooked enough already or you're not going to make it cook faster. But hatman is for the next day, shoshel tzorach machar v'umutman, and it's going to stay insulated. Yeshlocho shem yachte, you may come to go and stir the coals there. Shem ma'at chitui mo'alo, because adding a little bit of stirring to the coals over here will allow it to maintain its warmth for the next day. And therefore, that's why the rabbis instituted the gzeir over here. You can't have something that could be mosif hevel because you may come to stir it. You may come to stoke the fire that you have in the hatmana, the coals that you have in the hatmana, the remetz, and that's why you can't do this. So Tosu says a big distinction over here between shehiya and hatmana. Okay. So what are you allowed, Bamet Tomlin, what are you allowed to do Hatmana with that doesn't Mosif Hevel, as Rashi said, or Bamet Ein Tomlin? What is Mosif Hevel? What are those products that you're not allowed to do Hatmana with? Again, the key factor, according to Rashi over here, is whether it's Mosif Hevel, no, or it's not Mosif Hevel, then yes. So we start off with the Ein Tomlin. Ein Tomlin Lobe Gefes, you're not allowed to go and use gefes. Rashi says that's pesolah shebeis habad. We had that earlier in the Masechta as well. That's the pulp, the remnant over here after you crush the olives. And this is shemen, shukonus yachad v'chamod. It's all collected together and it's hot. V'lo b'zevel, not with excrement, manure. That also is mosif hevel. V'lo b'melach, salt. V'lo b'sid, plaster, lime. V'lo b'chol, not sand. And all of these, all these items that we said are mosif hevel, they do this bein lachin, whether they're moist, bein yuvashim, or even if they're dry. Rashi points out, when they're moist, they have more hevel, but even when they're dry, they still give off hevel. Now we have the next category of things. V'lo b'tevin, you now use straw. V'lo b'zogin, Rashi says zogin is pesolo shel yekev yayin. It's like the pulp over here of the remnants of the wine, of the grapes. V'lo b'mochin. Mochin, Rashi says, kol dover rach kori mochin. Anything that's soft is called a moch. Could go in, for example, tzemer gefen, that's cotton, b'tulishe tzemer, or the wool that you pull off an animal. Rach shel behema, that's soft from the back of the animal. V'griras begodim b'luyim, or you have worn out garments over here. So all of these things are called mochin. So you're not allowed to insulate with any of that. V'lo b'yasavin, not with grasses as well. But all of these, it's only b'zman shem lachim. When they're moist, then they're mosif hevel, and you're not allowed to go to use them. However, avol tomen ben kishin yuvashin. But if they're dried, then they're not mosif hevel, and you're allowed to go and use them. Gemara starts off in asking by Lu gefes shozeisim tnan. When we said gefes, Rashi pointed out this is talking about the psolus of the base of bad. This is the pulp left from the olives. But there's another type of gefes that's known as sesame seed pulp, and that's called shumshimin. So when we say over here that the gefes is not allowed, is it the S? Is it only the gefes shozeisim that's not allowed? Abol the shum shapidomi, but the sesame seed pulp is allowed. We had the sesame seed pulp earlier in the Masechta in Bamei Madlikin. O dilma the shumshimin tan, or here it's really talking about shumshimin, not like Rashi said, the chol shekein zeisim, and certainly the zeisim. So which one is it? Tumor says toshma. Domer zeir, mishum chad devei Rav Yanai. Rav Zeir said, in the name of one of the Tamidim from the Beis Medrash Rav Yanai, Kupa shetoman bo osu lanicha al gefes shel zeisim. If you have a basket over here that you are insulating, it's not allowed to go and put that insulated basket on top of gefes shel zeisim. So you see, the gefes shel zeisim is the one that's mosif hevel. Shema mino shel zeisim tnan. It's only talking about zeisim. Where it says not so fast, that's not a raya. Lo'olam em lochoch li'inyan hatmana the shum shemin nami asur. No, you can actually say that shum shemin, if you have the gefes of shum shemin, that's also not allowed to be insulated with. Why did he say over here that this kupa shetomim ba'asur lanichal gefes shel zeisim? That's li'inyan asuke havla. We have good osik, good ochis. So osik means to go up. So the heat from the gefes goes up. Asuke havla, the zeisim maske. So the strength of the olive pulp, that is so strong that it can go heat something up above it. But therefore, leinyan asuke havla, the zeisim maske havla. So the pulp from the olive residue, that can go and bring the heat up to the thing on top of it. However, the shum shemin lo maski havla, that can't go and bring the heat all the way up. And therefore, the difference between the two in this price that we brought down is the difference between olive and the shum shemi. But in the Mishnah, maybe the Mishnah could be talking about that it's even sesame over here and not just olive that you're not allowed to do hatmona with. So we left with no answer. With that, we conclude today's shir.